Welcome back to the Rewind That Tape podcast. This is Mr. Stromboli.
I'm Dr. Cash.
And I'm Jay Probst.
And today we'll be coming to you guys with another episode, this time talking about the reactions from the AFC and NFC divisional playoff rounds. Starting off with the Bengals versus the Titans.
Yeah, so just kicking off, some call this the craziest NFL wildcard weekend ever.
Divisional round,
not wildcard. That was last week. But yeah, this were some pretty crazy games, and we started one right off the bat. Cincinnati, Tennessee. Joe Burrow, not that good of a game. No touchdowns, one interception. I mean, sure, he had like 350 yards, but it was enough to beat Ryan Tannehill, who had three interceptions. So, not the best performance by Cincy, but still good enough, I guess.
Yeah, I think it comes down to that offensive line. Always been that narrative around Cincinnati and their offensive line. Burrow did good with what I guess pass protection he had, but that's not going to cut it against Kansas City, because we saw against throw the number one defense at them and they put up 42.
Yeah, I agree. I think what the Bengals did defensively winning that game was pretty incredible, considering how many times Joe Burrow was under pressure and under distress.
He got sacked like nine times, right?
Yeah, yep. So that's a ridiculous number if you're the Bengals offensive line looking back at this game. But I think the big takeaway here for me is how well that Cincinnati defense played. Even though Burrow and the offense showed their colors at times, I think the Cincinnati defense is not getting enough credit out here.
I think when you look at this team, it's not a blow you away defense, but there are stars. I mean, you have Hendrickson, DJ Reader, Jesse Bates on the back end. It's good enough, I feel like, to stop a Tennessee team that has not been clicking this past few weeks. So, yeah, they got the job done. But I think there are some bigger issues that they kind of need to address before they head to Kansas City, starting with the O-line.
Yeah, here's a posing question to you guys that I was thinking about looking at this. Do you think that the Bengals are – I'm not a guy that's high on Joe Burrow, but do you think he has entered the top five quarterback conversation if they get a win in Kansas City?
I think that kind of moves him above the kind of second echelon of quarterbacks,
like second tier.
Like Justin Herbert, I would say, is part of that. That's the name I can't remember. But yeah, I think you, with a win at Kansas City, you're definitely moving Joe Burrow into that top echelon. I don't know if you call it top five yet. Depends on kind of who retires this year. But I think if Rodgers or Brady retire, I could definitely see him in that top five picture.
Yeah, I think that, like, right now, I think he's like right outside that top five mark. You got Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes, Allen, and I would say it's been a while, but since we've seen Deshaun Watson, or maybe even like how Matthew Stafford's been playing, couldn't make an argument for Kyler Murray. But I would say that if Burrow's able to go into KC and take down the Chiefs, then he's for sure a top five quarterback. But it also comes down to how his O-line is going to make him look.
Yeah, for sure.
How would you evaluate his performance with what he had this week with that O-line?
I think it was terrible. Pretty good. No, it was really good. He was able
to get
the
ball out. It was impressive. I'd say it was impressive.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Like, they over. Off of three turnovers, they only put up 19 points. But, I mean, that O-line's just got to get it fixed. And Burrow is able to make plays when he needed to, and that's what's important in the playoffs.
But that's the thing. Like, do you guys really think that this O-line is going to get it fixed? Because if you look at the team, I mean, they lost Riley Reiff, who is arguably their best player on that O-line, and I see only one player who I would call decent, and that would be Jonah Williams. So do you really think this team, like, just 1 week can turn it around? Because if I'm looking at the KC defensive line, I would say it's similar to Tennessee, right? You have Chandler Jones and Melvin Ingram. You have some studs on there. So I don't know how well this Cincinnati O-line is going to fare.
Yeah, I think the bye week, in my personal opinion, that bye week for Tennessee ultimately screwed them coming into this week. I just think it was something that they didn't want, and well, they were playing for it, but I think at the back of every Tennessee's fan's mind, I mean, I don't view that bye week as a positive. I think that could be the blame of their loss, but from a Bengals perspective, I'm not sure if the team's there yet. I think they've had some good wins, but like, I really think that Kansas City Buffalo game, we're gonna look back and say that was probably the game of the year, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I think both number one seeds look like they haven't played for the last 2 weeks.
Exactly.
And I mean, going back to your point, Probs, I think that I for sure wouldn't see the Bengals O-line being able to keep up. But at the same time, it's Joe Burrow, and if Zach Taylor's going to have to send a message to the NFL again, it's going to have to be with that game plan, whether he can manipulate Joe Mixon at all, because you're not going to have much time going up against that D-line in Kansas City, because we saw when they needed to bring the heat, and I get they were terrible against the pass, but when they needed to bring the heat on Allen, they were able to do that. And if they can't get the ball quick out to Jamar Chase, can't have a game plan for Mixon, game over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what it kind of comes down to. How fast can you get the ball out? How explosive is Jamar Chase going to be? That kind of sums it up. Because if you can't keep them honest, then they're going to start blitzing.
Yeah,
I agree.
And Jamar's obviously, yeah, he's the focal point of their offense. But I think another X factor that we're going to be looking at heading into conference championship weekend is going to have to be Deebo Samuel. I think he's just as much of a factor, if not more, than Jamar Chase is to Cincinnati. We know what cornerback he's going up against in Los Angeles, but how do you guys think he's going to fare there? We've seen it twice.
Well, first of all, I want to say, like, Deebo, he's going to get his yards. I mean, he's still hurt, and he gets 10 carries. Three catches, sure, not that much, but he's still gained, like, 80 yards on the ground and over the air, which is very productive in a snow-covered game.
To add on to your point, Probs, I don't think we expected much offense when the weather started coming down, the snow specifically, but Deebo Samuel, I think his most effective thing, and talking to 49er fans, Kyle Shanahan seems to be doing this with all of his players. He makes them multi-threat players where you could throw George Kittle behind that line to run the ball. You can literally put any guy back there or in that wide receiver room, and run the ball, which I think is absolutely crazy, and that's why they have these big plays. And I think his Samuel in particular, his biggest aspect is him running the ball, because I know that's not technically like what he was supposed to do coming into the year, but every time he gets behind that O-line, it seems like he's automatically getting a few yards. Like, I mean, against the Cowboys, he was dominant, when the 49ers needed him against the Packers, it felt like he got enough yards every time. And I know that Packers defense played a lot better than Dallas, but I think that's the biggest problem, because he played well against the Rams in that last week as well.
And it seems like he can kind of make anyone miss.
Yeah, it also comes down to like confidence. Like, he's confident he can beat out Jalen Ramsey, and he did. he's confident he can run the ball third and seven in a game played in the snow at Lambeau, and he got a first down. So the relationship he has with his coach and his quarterback to know that he can get the job done is it's pretty special. I think that's what's gonna have to happen for him and his offense to be able to really expose this Rams defense and hopefully for them punch a trip to the Super Bowl. But I think it comes down to the trust and relationship in that game plan.
Yeah, and I think you look at the weapons on this team, and it's not just Deebo Samuels. I mean, you have Elijah Mitchell, who I would say is a, I wouldn't say top tier, but a top efficient of the league. Yeah, very efficient, and I think he's just going to get better. You have George Kittle, he made some amazing catches. I admit there were some drops, but he did make some really good catches when they needed it in those fourth quarter drives. And then you have Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, who's come on quite nice. So I think there are enough weapons on San Francisco to be able to take advantage, because George Kittle is going to be a mismatch wherever he goes. So yeah, if they can, because I know Shanahan, he will game plan and he will have a scheme ready for Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. Those guys will be schemed. I feel like it's about how well can the rest of the team play. How well can Leonard Floyd, the rest of the Rams defense play when their star players are being game planned for and are taken out of the equation. So I think Shanahan is going to put the best plan in place for his team. It's just going to be about Garoppolo executing and I guess the rest of the team just making those plays that have made them so so good and so dynamic.
Yeah, Shanahan has put together a really talented roster here. And, I mean, I think everybody's kind of afraid to play the 49ers at this point with what they have going on. One thing I wanted to add, that this is kind of why, like, I could be in favor of adding some sort of postseason awards, like, just for the postseason, because I really think Kyle Shanahan here would be – the coach of the year, because I really don't see them losing this game, but we'll get into that later. But the way he's game planned these first two games against very tough opponents, It's just a testament to this team. I mean, I don't know if I could see that game. I mean, sure, the special teams at the end, but like they played really well shutting down that Green Bay offense, who's used to that type of weather.
This is like everyone was like, oh, it's going to be Lambeau. Green Bay is going to have an edge over these California teams. And yet they only scored 10 points. Aaron Rodgers has no touchdowns, a horrible QBR. But
they didn't score an offensive touchdown and are going to the NFC championship game.
Exactly. And that's the kind of play, the kind of game they played.
Yeah. That just shows it's all coaching. And now that you're in neutral weather at indoor stadium, I think they'll be able to use Garoppolo a lot more, as well as Elijah Mitchell outside at receiver.
Here's a question for you guys. I don't know if you've seen the clips of Robbie Gould practicing once during the Green Bay intros, and then in Dallas He was practicing during the cheerleading introduction, I believe. How much of a factor do you think that comes in mentally when you're kicking that ball, but you've already kicked that thousands of times with random things going around? I mean, how much do you think that really helps? Like, or if it doesn't, and it's just all feel, because he's been perfect at, from what I remember, in this playoffs.
Well, I mean, I think he's perfect in his playoff career, right? So he's always doing something correct.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever works for him. And it might be, as much as it is a help to him, it might also be a detriment to the rest of the team, who, while their halftime things are going on, while the running out to the court, you see this guy just nailing 50 yarders. Like, I mean, I know that that doesn't feel good, at least.
Yeah, just seeing the other kicker line up and easily drop these long kicks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I think it kind of, like, everyone has their sort of, like, pregame routine to help get them mentally prepared. And I think that's his way of building confidence because, yeah, he's 20 for 20 in the postseason, and he hasn't showed any sign of backing down. And he's able to – for the team to know that he's able to perform in those circumstances is going to help them a lot in big games like this, as it already has twice. So I think he's going to be a huge X factor because the Rams are they're a good team at being able to stop you near midfield – or maybe your 40, 45-yard line, and being able to have Robbie Gould, who you know can make 50-yarders, will be huge for the 49ers.
Yeah, and before we move on to the next game, which was a complete crazy show in the fourth quarter, I want to talk about for a second Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, their last dance. And Davante Adams gets... He has less receiving yards than Green Bay's number one running back. And Aaron Rodgers gets out-dueled by a quarterback who's about to get replaced by a rookie quarterback or a second young quarterback. So what do you say about this, I guess, kind of last dance for Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I'd go off and start by saying that I'm not 100% convinced it's his last dance yet. I think that I think there's a chance that he stays, but I really feel like, I mean, it's obviously going to depend on Davante Adams, but I mean, looking at where he's rumored to go, Pittsburgh, Denver, and I don't think he'll go to San Francisco really, but and maybe Tennessee. I'd say Tennessee's the best spot for him to go, but like Denver, I mean they've got a pretty good defense. They got Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, but is that truly better than having Aaron Jones and Davante Adams? And then on defense, you got Marshawn Lattimore, Za'Darius Smith. I just don't see how that's better if Davante Adams resigns. Yeah. Alexander. But I don't see how that's better. I mean, if he really chooses a team like Denver over Green Bay, it's clear to me he's going because of how he feels towards the Packers front office and not because of talent. Because I feel like I'd definitely rather have Adams, Aaron Jones, and another young group of receivers versus Jeudy and Sutton in a defense who has been up and down throughout the year.
Yeah, I think it's kind of based on if the Packers are willing to build around Aaron Rodgers, because they obviously didn't show that by drafting Jordan Love. They haven't shown that by drafting Eric Stokes, who mind you, great cornerback. But Eric Stokes and then Amari Rodgers, who they did pick, is their punt returner. So I think it's all based on how they build around him. Do you keep his favorite target around? Do you break out the money and pay Davante Adams? Because I think his weapons is going to be probably the biggest issue, because the rest of the team is by my standard stacked. But that receiving group, are you going to fix it? Are you going to make some changes? Are you going to keep Aaron Rodgers happy? Or if not, I think he's gone. But yeah, it's based on what the Packers do this offseason for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And to put your point earlier, we expected some sort of like stellar performance from Rodgers, considering this was his last dance. And I think the biggest word you can use to describe that was just disappointing. The way they came out, it was just flat-footed. They first scored that touchdown, and then after that, it was just hard to watch. So, I think all your points are valid here that we've already talked about. Like, they will have to build around him. But to Dr. Cash's point, I think the relationship between Rodgers and the Packers is fractionalized or fractioned. And that's why I think he's not going to end up staying in Green Bay. I don't think it's because of talent. I think the only person that can convince him to stay here is Devontae Adams. One more point as we move on that I want to add is when you look at what happened in SF, taking Trey Lance at 3, mm-hmm. and then Garoppolo leads your team to potentially a Super Bowl or a Super Bowl championship. What are you going to do there? Because to me, it makes no sense. Now, that draft pick is looking real stupid right now because this team looks mm-hmm. good enough to compete.
But when you think about it, how much better will it be if you add a Patrick Mahomes-type player into the offense? Like, how well do you think Trey Lance is going to play? Because if he plays, like, a third overall pick and this superstar with the ability to, I would say, Josh Allen-like arm and the ability to move around in the pocket, that adds a whole nother dimension to your offense. And it kind of then makes the 49ers favorites, because if they have a top tier quarterback, and Garoppolo right now, I would say he's middle of the pack, and the team that has already made it to the championship once and has made it to the conference championships twice, then I'd say you're looking at Super Bowl favorites right there.
Yeah, I agree, but I just think you're going to have a hard time benching Garoppolo. Unfortunately, we have to move on into the Rams versus Tampa Bay, which was another thriller game. I mean, this whole weekend we saw crazy games. This one was probably my second favorite to watch. I will say that these last two games we saw, I liked enjoyable. I was enjoying more. I think this one more applies because Tom Brady had such a ridiculous little comeback there, which I thought is kind of ironic because a lot of people were counting him out about halfway through the game. But
and then, I mean, what and do you then guys there was that. I just want to comment on that one little graphic I saw on social media. It was like CBS threw it up there, and it was like, last time Tom Brady was down this bad, Super Bowl against Atlanta, 27-3, and everyone was like, oh, it's happening again. And then it didn't happen again, but then it did. Yeah. So, I thought it was kind of sad seeing Tom Brady kind of get bloody lip and all, not win.
For sure.
But I thought he played really well. I thought the Rams played really well in the first quarter, and we're able to play really well on one drive to pull it out, or one pass, I assume, to Cooper Kupp. I think this kind of shows never to count Tom Brady out ever.
Well, he may be counted out when he retires this year, if he retires
this year.
My big takeaway from that game is that I think Cooper Kupp deserves this MVP.
Oh, wow.
I think he should. I mean, it's really a quarterback's award, but what we saw was from that Tampa game is that literally without him, that they're not going to be anywhere near this conference championship game. I mean, and it all came down really to that last play where he was able to put the Rams in field goal range. I think that shows how valuable he is. Rodgers didn't show up come playoff time. I mean, Brady had a good game, but
he lost.
Kupp was the one who outdueled him, really. So I think Kupp really deserves this MVP award. I think even though he may not win it, he definitely deserves it.
I mean, to be honest, I think the biggest frustrating part of these last two games to me was the lack of defense. Yeah. There shouldn't have been a game-winning field goal or a game-time field goal in these last two games. With that little time on the clock, you have to make a stop. And what really that says to me is you don't really need that Cowboy-level defense that they had this year. The only team that really has a really good defense, in my opinion right now, is probably the 49ers, and that's because of their D-line. I will say that the Rams have been playing well recently, but, I mean – I don't know how much of that is playoff adrenaline or if they're like legit, but I know it took a while for Von Miller to kind of get the chemistry right. But
yeah,
to me, the most frustrating part about these last two games was the lack of defense in that final drive. But credit to the kickers, man. Both of those guys knocked down some big ones. And I think the Bills are going to be the team that never was when you end up looking at this, because I really think they looked like one of the best teams out here, in my opinion.
Before we go to the Buffalo game, I just want to say one thing about the Rams. Like, I just think however well Matthew Stafford was playing, I mean, you don't blitz him on the last play.
Yeah, rush eight people.
Exactly. And especially when you have Cooper Kupp on the outside. Like, you just don't – and Odell, you just don't do that. But they did it, and it kind of screwed them over. But yeah, I think going into that Buffalo game, I mean, Buffalo was my Super Bowl pick. I thought they were going to win it all. I mean, Josh Allen defense is really good as usual. They might not have Tre'Davious White, but, Allen played perfect. And, both teams deserve to win.
I'm in shock with really how that game ended, because, to be honest, I did not expect the number one defense in the NFL with 13 seconds to let up that many yards. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I think that
pass to Kelce was crazy.
Yeah, that's just the Chiefs' way of saying that's how good they are at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah, and I see that. I also want to add, why is Buffalo rushing for? I mean, we already said something about it earlier with the Rams rushing, however many they rush, blitzing. Yeah. When you're in that situation, what's the point of? I mean, I understand you'll always put at least three D linemen out there, but like from a fan perspective or from a non football perspective, what's the point of even rushing somebody there? Like, I'd give Patrick Mahomes all that time. If he's gonna let five, if I'm taking 11 people to guard four people, or 11, and he has to get the ball out, or they're gonna be throwing a Hail Mary.
Exactly.
So exactly. I mean, I understand you have to put somebody there, but like at the same time, wow. I mean, to think about that from that perspective, because if he can't find an open man, which I really think it's hard to find, and with 11 dudes out there, then he has to go long. And all you have to do is get your fastest cornerback safeties, who are mostly the fastest players on your team, and have them run backwards, which I think everybody's kind of capable of running with the Chiefs.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I don't know how – I'm not as critical of the Chiefs, I guess, as I am of the Bucks rushing eight. But – I still think you have to understand that Kelce is their big body guy. I mean, sure, Tyreek is going to get open in space, and he's that speedster. But if you have someone downfield, you can take away, I feel like, that downfield element. But you have to have at least two people on Kelce. Like, you can't let him just get run straight across your face. Like, that's not how it works.
What would bother me more, though, by the way, as a Bills defender, is the fact that post-game they go, that wasn't even the route they were supposed to run. They literally found the weakness in the defense and ran a backyard football route. That's, to me, where somebody in Buffalo has to be real mad right now with how that turned out.
Yeah, I mean...
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm only this critical because I don't know if these guys are going to get another shot at it, to be honest.
I don't know. Like, as good as a chance this is, you got Tennessee's coming back next year, and you got obviously Cincinnati, Kansas City, the Chargers.
Yeah,
the Raiders are able to get a receiver,
the Browns will be healthy.
The Browns will be fully healthy. Indianapolis.
I think they struggled this year to barely make it.
Yeah, that's seven teams right there. And I think as good as Buffalo is, those are all the teams you're going through.
Josh Allen, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He can.
I'm not arguing that Josh Allen is one of the best players. I'm saying, with the amount of talent you have, and take the teams that missed the playoffs, the Colts, the Browns, the Chargers, all three of those teams were teams that we said preseason on paper with their healthy rosters that they could probably mess with some of the playoff contenders. Now they're going to go in, get a top 15 or top 20. 16 draft pick. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You're competing against these teams that are just getting better and better. And I know the league's gotten better and better over the years, but like, I mean, the AFC race was that close where Buffalo almost missed it this year, and almost every team is getting better. That's why I see the problem. I don't know if you're going to get as good of a chance as you are with what you had this year. Because let me tell you, I'd play this Bengals team in the AFC Championship every single time.
Yep.
No matter how well they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, this was a golden opportunity for Buffalo. They could have, if they won this game, I see a clear path to the championship and then winning the championship. But, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't have another shot, because you are young team. You have Josh Allen. He's only 25. This is kind of like saying the Chiefs don't have another shot, because the Chiefs, I would say, are in a worse position, because sure, they have this great offense, but the defense sucks. The Buffalo defense is at least decent. I think Buffalo's in a good spot going forward, because they have a franchise QB and a good defense. But I think it's just how you play in playoff time, because they haven't been able to beat Kansas City. My analogy here might be a little wonky, but it's kind of like the Houston Rockets never being able to get past the Golden State Warriors.
I can agree with that.
But it seemed like this might have been the year, but you might say, oh, next year, but
the Ravens, man. I mean, if
Buffalo, yeah, we forgot about the Ravens.
If Buffalo is not able to win the AFC East, and we saw how competitive New England was this year, we saw how good Miami was with Tua this year.
That was going to be my counter argument as well. Yeah, like, it's not about them being a good team. If they lose to the AFC East, I'm having a hard time putting them in my top seven. Because I see one team coming out of there.
You could put them at six or seven, but you're going to end up playing Kansas City, Tennessee, Chargers. You're going to end up playing a team like that on the road. Yeah. So I think, it's going to come down. I get this. A Buffalo team, they're the best in the AFC East, but you're not always the best team wins. Like, we've seen that how inconsistent the NFC East has been. Like, you could say that Cowboys always have the most talent, but they haven't always won it. So I think it's really going to come down if they're able to win that. It's more important than people think.
I will say that if there was a 7-game series with those two teams, I think I would take Buffalo with how they played last night. But I still agree with Cash. I still agree with what we're talking about as we wrap this one up. I mean, I think this was their best shot that's going to come in a while, unless we see a really injury-plagued AFC, like kind of like how we saw one this year, where they sneak in, kind of how they did this year, and get an easier matchup in the first round. I mean, I thought the Pats game was going to be closer, and they proved me wrong, so maybe they will, but contracts expire, dynasties fall. I mean, the Steelers won't be there, so I'll give you that one. But there's so many teams getting much healthier as we ride into this the next year, really.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it like in New England, it's been a thing. New England's a receiver away from becoming that much more of a playoff threat.
Can you really say they're a receiver away from beating the Bills when they got smacked like they did?
I mean, they got smacked, but they've also beat teams. They also beat the Bills on the road earlier that season. They beat good teams this year by a lot. And I mean, with Bill Belichick, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a guaranteed 30-point loss every time Patriots and Bills play.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I see that argument as well, but I don't know. I just have faith in Buffalo. They're going to be my next year's.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you.
But going into these conference championships next week, starting with the early 2 p.m. slot on Sunday, Bengals Chiefs, quick go. Who's your pick?
Chiefs.
Soccer Cash.
Chiefs. Chiefs by 10.
Dang.
Yeah, I got Chiefs by probably 14 here. I think the Bengals streak just ends here.
Well, I mean, I don't want it to be all Chiefs, so I'm going to go Cincy by 3. I think shootout. But, yeah, on to our next game, 49ers-Rams. Who do you got, Cash?
Niners. I think Niners. Rams run ends here. OBJ's time in L.A. ends here. He's going to go find better money in the offseason. Yep, Niners.
Yeah, well, I will say to that, I don't know if OBJ can get, like, money at L.A. Like, I think they're going to have to move some players around. So I could agree with that. And I also agree with the pick. I think the Niners' defensive line is a little bit too much.
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm just going to be going against you guys all the time, but I'm going Rams. I think Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, that tandem is better than Jimmy G, Deebo Samuels, as much as you might want to say it's not. But I think the offenses, because they both have great defenses, I think whichever one capitalizes on mistakes, and the one that is best fit to do that is L.A. So, yeah, that's what I'm picking. I'm going to say L.A. by 10. L.A. by 10.
All right, final thoughts here. I'll leave one off. I think whoever wins that NFC Championship is winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Probs.
Give me a Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah.
If this is it for Jimmy G, I'll give – let's do it. Let's give San Francisco this win. I'll take the Niners to win it all.
Wow. I think Kansas City has – if they face San Francisco, I think, unlike Dr. Cash, I think they have a good shot. But if they play L.A., I think they're losing. I think L.A. championship, making that big trade for Matthew Stafford finally pays off. But, yeah, that's it. That's my thoughts.
All right, that's a wrap on this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to check out our website at rewindthattape.com and follow us on our social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Bleacher Report. Anywhere you can find us, we're probably there. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Peace.